What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game. Live from Bar Canada at the D, Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, VSiN app, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. Good morning to you, sir.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Wild card week. You excited? Championship game tonight? Wild card week?
Let's go. Ready to roll.
This ranks pretty high up in the great weeks of the sports and sports betting calendar.
This is always one. You know, we always have the conversation around October. I'm always in this window more than October.
I love October as a month. This is a week. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Six NFL playoff games, the championship game tonight in college football. Chris Felica will join us, the Bear, to talk Washington and Michigan, get his thoughts as the money keeps coming in on Michigan. Michigan up to about a five-point favorite now, consensus, in the national championship with a total at 57. We'll talk to the Bear later. As we do each and every Monday, and no longer guessing lines, I'll tell you what I did guess with these six wildcard games. Two on Saturday, three on Sunday, one on Monday. Don't forget, Kelly, exclusive Peacock window Saturday night. Unless you're in Kansas City and Miami, then you get to watch it locally on regular TV. Otherwise, you got to get yourself some Peacock for the Chiefs and the Dolphins. Before we get to that, as we do with each Monday.
That's how it works? They're doing it on local?
Yeah, yeah. If you're in Miami and Kansas City, you're good. Right. Yeah. Otherwise, well, you better get your Peacock money in there.
Ready to go.
So here's the story. We always talk about Survivor first. Congratulations to the four finalists, the four people who made it to the promised land in Survivor. They were the ones that chopped up out of the $9.267 million. They chopped up 7.5 of it originally. 7.5? No, 7 million of it originally, 1.75 each. Then they did a second chop for an additional million to get to 8 here prior to this last week. All four get through, and it is a perfect chop for Circus Master, Indiana Jet, Jax Jags, and L.A. Jones, or our guy Greg Jones. Congratulations to all who split that up four ways, $2.3+ million. Mazel tov to you all.
Whew.
Well done.
Yeah.
The line I remember is when Greg was on here, and I said to him, I go, this sounds like it was more stressful than the contest itself in terms of monetizing. Before I could even finish the sentence, he's like, oh, you have no idea. So going to do one more shot with the documentary with Shalansky after this being crack. Congratulations to all four of those. What a ride it must have been. I hope everybody monetized well and responsibly. And then, of course, Saint 31 in Circa Million came down to the last game yesterday for whoever had that entry. They needed the Buffalo Bills to get it done last night. The Bills come from behind, win, and cover over the Dolphins. Gets it done. $1 million for Saint 31. 62.5 points out of a possible, what is that, 90?
Man. Is that what it is, 90?
Yeah, 18 times 5? Yeah, 90. So, good on him.
They were partying last night over at Circa.
Oh, congratulations to all. Just wanted to bring that to a close. And the greatest contest there are, and good Lord, who knows how many entries there's going to be in Survivor next year. 9.267 million might seem like a pittance when we look back at it next year and years coming up. The other thing I want to point out is we always start the NFL season by saying, you know, the best market to bet in is alternate season win totals. Little inventory as the regular season comes to a close before we get into these playoff games. Of the 32 NFL teams, Kelly, of the 32, 13 teams ended up with a difference of 2.5 games or more between their pre-flop season win total and what they actually ended up with.
It's incredible.
13 teams, 2.5 games difference. An additional 10 teams were 1.5 games or more away from their pre-flop season win totals. That's 23 out of 32. Now, that sounds like a lot, and it is. But you know, it's not as many as in other seasons.
I was going to say, I was trying to look back at some of my stuff that I've brought up over the years.
Yeah, you got 9 that were really tight to their season win total. The fact that we're 10 within 1.5 is pretty big, too. So, like, for instance, my Giants season alt under, under 6.5 plus 185 that I thought was just going to coast home, barely got there at the end.
Yep.
You know, so anyway, even in a down year like this, down in quotes, 13 of the 32 ended up 2.5 difference delta. By the way, the biggest difference between season win total pre-flop and their resulting season win total, actual Carolina, 5.5 below what they were projected to get to.
It's incredible. I was just trying to think off the top when you were asking that. I didn't even know the answer. I don't know. I would not have guessed the Panthers.
2 versus 7.5. And the second biggest difference, the Chargers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that one makes sense.
The Chargers, who played 7 games, lost 7 games of 3 points or fewer in the margin. They had a season win total pre-flop of 9.5. They ended up with just 5 wins. By the way, that's to the bad. To the good, the biggest difference, the Texans and the Rams, both 3.5 games better than their pre-flop season win total. Kelly, shall we do it? Should we start? Let's do it one by one.
Wild card weekend. Guess it live.
Not an actual guessing lines, more just here's what I did guess.
There you go. Saturday. Do you like the schedule, by the way?
2-3-1?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. I don't know, I heard someone else hating on it this weekend. I was shocked by that. I love it.
They prefer a 3-3?
Yeah, they prefer a 3-3.
I'm okay with it. 2-3-1 is good. Yeah. Okay. You?
No, I love it. Yeah, I love it. I was shocked to hear someone complaining about it.
It's a little awkward for me Saturday morning, though, when I have nothing. Like, I'm like, I like looking to do, what do I do with my hands?
Yeah, but we've said that before. Like, 3 games on a day gets exhausting. And then you're like back-to-back days.
Wait till like the international London window becomes more of a regular thing. And we're like 4 time slots every Sunday.
Exactly. All right, Saturday afternoon. This will be 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific time. Browns at the Texans. Texans early Saturday slot once again.
The official Houston Texans Saturday early window for the postseason. I'm surprised they're not playing the Bengals. That would be the real one.
That's hilarious.
Texans always get wedged into this one. Sorry, Texans. What a year for the Houston Texans. First of all, Browns get there as the 5 seed. They had already had the 5 seed clinched before yesterday. They went with Jeff Driskel, and he was not really ready for primetime. No need to get into that game. Cincinnati housed Cleveland as Cleveland just played out the string with nothing to play for. Houston, by the way, AFC North, it should be pointed out, though, before we move on to Houston. First division have all teams finished with a winning record since 1930-5.
Oh, who could forget that season?
Oh, what a season it was. I'm gonna say the Bengals were the best team that didn't make the postseason. With like apologies to like the Seahawks and other teams like that. I think the Bengals, because of the Burrow injury, and they still ended up with a winning record.
Yeah.
Houston on a Saturday. Congratulations to D'Amico Ryans. Congratulations to C.J. Stroud. Let me just start there. I think D'Amico would get my Coach of the Year vote, and I think Stroud, despite having all my Puka, you know, my Puka bet, I still think C.J. Stroud is the guy there. I don't think those two awards. Well, I mean, some people are going to argue about Coach of the Year, for sure. That's a legit argument. Maybe the guy on the other side of the ball here is your choice, Stefanski, Kevin Stefanski. Houston did it on Saturday. The first half was bookended. After it was 3-0 Indianapolis, one play, Stroud to Nico Collins, 75 yards, 7-3. That was a portent of things to come. They bookended that half with a 8-play, 57-yard drive that ended with 26 seconds, with 1:57 left in the second quarter. Stroud to Beck from when I was 14-3. Houston at that point, 14-6 was the score at the half. Indianapolis, if you recall, early second quarter, though, got with it, and they tied up the game at 14 apiece. And the key moment of this game, it's going to get sort of washed in history because everybody's like, oh, anyone's thinking about Houston, and no one's thinking about the Colts anymore. But remember, Kelly, it was 14 apiece, and Shane Steichen decided to roll Matt Gay out there for a 57-yard field goal. Yeah. Doink. Indianapolis had all the momentum at that point in the game, tied with the ball. Fairbairn came down, hit a 51-yarder to give the Texans a three-point lead. Gay did hit a 35-yard field goal to tie it up at 17 apiece. But then Stroud went to work, 12 plays, 73 yards. Singletary in from three, 23-17 Houston with 6:20 to go. Remember, Fairbairn missed the PAT, wide right, the door was open. But on that drive, C.J. Stroud, as if he needed to just ram it home that much more, 7 of 7 for 82. Texans converted a 2nd and 20 and a 1st and 20 and a 1st downs on that game-winning drive. And then it came down to the end. Indianapolis had 4th and 1 at the Houston 15. Minshew incomplete. He threw it behind Tyler Goodson. He couldn't corral it. And that, because Steichen had used the timeout, had wasted a timeout before this, that was Katie Barr the door. Houston ends up winning it after they take a safety. Pitchy, there was no miracle, pitchy, woo-woo. 23-19 Texans. They waited a day to see if the Jags would win. The Jags lost. Sorry, Kelly.
Good time.
We'll get to that momentarily. And Houston ends up winning the AFC North. Get themselves a home playoff game. Stroud was 20 of 26 for 264. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was only sacked twice. And Nico Collins, 9 for 195 and a touchdown. What a game for him. I guessed Cleveland minus 2.5 despite all that because they got the best unit on the field in that defense.
Yeah, so open most places 1.5. We are up to 2.5 now. And it is a juiced 2.5.
I think
most,
that's right.
Most places. It is moving towards the 3 on that Cleveland side. I think the only thing that's interesting about that is when these two teams played just a couple weeks ago, right? It was like 3.5 Cleveland with Davis Mills in there at quarterback for Houston. So that's notable, I think.
Yeah. So you lost. So your sorry to bring this up. Your Jacksonville AFC South bets somehow lost after they were 8-3. Shaking his head. And they end up
just
9-8.
It's not even like this past week. It's just like you look at their schedule and you're like, one win. Just one win.
The slow death of it.
Oh,
and then your Steelers, all your unders, none of them.
I had up in the air yesterday. Steelers under 9 wins. So that's out the window this weekend. Jags to win the division, that loses. And then the one sort of longer shot, Seahawks to make the playoffs. All of them.
By the way, the Seahawks season win total coming down to that final sequence.
Yeah.
Yesterday against the Cardinals. Prater missing two.
I think there was a couple guys. Like I was sitting here doing the doing live bet Sunday with Jared Smith. He had the under on the Cardinals win total and the Cardinals in the game yesterday.
Oh, Will Hill had a whole thing too with that. 3 AFC games preceding 3 NFC games. We'll get to it next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with a free VSiN daily newsletter. Let me repeat that, free. In today's newsletter, among other stories, we talk about the national title game tonight between Michigan and UW. Everybody's got a pick. You give your pick, Kelly?
Nah, I didn't bet anything pre-flop.
Everybody but Kelly has a pick in there. I got Washington plus the points. I also sprinkled a little on the money line.
There you go. I like it.
Yeah, we'll see if Felica counters that a little later on. I bet he will. Get expert analysis and latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Once again, visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. You remember those old Saturday Night Live when Eddie Murphy, this is before your time, Eddie Murphy was playing Velvet Jones. And it's all live. So he was supposed to say subscription. Instead, he said prescription. And he realized this was taking. He goes, and a subscription too. Subscription, VSiN.com/newsletter.
Look at Bill on that. Bill's little logo on that graphic. I haven't seen him with a popped collar very often.
It's like an SVP kind of
thing. Yeah.
Good for him. Okay, by the way, a couple things. One, three AFC playoff games before the three NFC games. I mentioned that on the way to break. I don't remember that ever happening.
Me either.
That was very odd. A little scheduling quirk there. Cleve T.A., guest of this show, guest of the Megapod yearly, and one of the best Twitter football follows there is. I might proclaim him the best, but I'll just say one of the best.
He's a go-to season preview guide that you have to get that every single year. You have to read his every year.
So he reminds us, because I was just talking about, again, 13 teams, 2.5 game delta from their pre-flop season win total. 10 other teams, 1.5, which, by the way, isn't as much as in past years. But still, even in a quote-unquote down year, think about that in terms of alternate season win totals before the season. Now, Cleve T.A. reminds us this morning that before the season started, he sent out this tweet. He said there's been at least one team. This is in August, he said this. There's been at least one team to make the NFL playoffs with a preseason win total of below 500 in each year since the year 2000. In 19 of the 23 years prior to this year, at least two made it. Again, pre-flop season win total of below 500. Last year, three teams made the postseason, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Giants, and the Seattle Seahawks. And then what he did was he threw out the 13 teams that had a below 500 season win total, in other words, eight wins or fewer. And he asked us to choose which team or teams we thought would get there. I'm still seeking the answer because I don't remember who we picked, but he's going to let us know. This year, though, the answer to the question of how many did make it, four teams with pre-flop season win totals of below 500, expected win percentage, that is, made the playoffs, below 500 expected win percentage, made the playoffs, so eight wins or fewer. Green Bay, Houston, the Rams, and the Bucks all got there.
That is wild. That is wild. I was just pulling up his actual his preview guide from this past season because this is where he had documented the percentage of teams off by two or three wins with the win totals. So 2022, 66% of teams win totals off by two or more games, 38% by three or more. 2021, 47% and 13%. 2020, 63% and 31%.
Well, that was pandemic year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to happen then. Let's do our second game on Saturday, the Peacock game. What we got?
Dolphins at Chiefs, Saturday night.
Cleve just tweeted back, goes, I don't remember what you picked either. I have no idea what we picked. I'd love to know. If somebody knows, please let me know. All right, it's the 6-seed Dolphins. Imagine after all that, after that whole season, fastest team ever, Hard Knocks in season, just the hype, the 70-point game. In the end, the Dolphins, and you can blame it on a spate of injuries at the end. That's certainly part of it. Other teams dealing with injuries too, but the Dolphins certainly got their share. They end up with a 6-seed in a road game wildcard weekend at Kansas City, where the temperature at most is supposed to be in the single digits. That's Fahrenheit, boys and girls. Fahrenheit at Kansas City. Kansas City was locked into a 3-seed, so no need to talk about them. They sort of played kickball with the Chargers and ended up winning that game somehow, because that's what always happens with the Chargers. They lose. But the Dolphins last night, in that strange situation where if they win, they are a champion of a division. If they lose, they fall deep down, and that's what happened. The Bills, by the way, had the same situation. They would have won the division with the win last night, which is what they got, or they fell. By the way, it was a game for seeding. Had things gone differently before last night, it would have had much more drama. It would have been a winner in or a division championship or out sort of thing for the Bills.
Yeah.
That didn't materialize. Early yesterday, Tua, first drive, third and seven at their own 44, picked by Christian Benford, first drive of the game. Then Allen returns it as the Bills matriculate down the field, third and goal at the Miami 5. Allen throws a horrible pick to Eli Apple, where he's not even looking where he's throwing it. And then Eli Apple had a lot of real estate but slipped, so he just barely got out of the end zone. Buffalo's next drive, Allen missed a wide open. Stephon Diggs deep. Then they did matriculate, but fourth and two at the Miami 35. Allen was picked in the end zone by Deshaun Elliott. Another just ridiculous sort of play from Josh Allen. And the, oh, my God, can you believe people had this guy as the MVP texts started going around.
Yeah. I love these types of games because that was bad Josh Allen first half. For
it sure was. Miami subsequently 11-play, 80-yard drive. They went up 7-0. Achane in from 25. Bills answered. Allen to Trent Sherfield off the deflection. Dragged his toes in the back of the end zone. Tied up at seven apiece. Dolphins scored again, two at a Tyreek from three out on a 9-play, 75-yard drive with 1:43 left in the second quarter, 14-7 Dolphins. And then Cook dropped a this is the last sequence of the first half. James Cook dropped a pass that would have been a touchdown walking into the end zone. Then a ridiculous Miami defensive formation on third and 10 at the Miami 23 that resulted in a first and 10 at the 11 with 11 seconds left for the Bills. And then Allen returns the favor in the field of play. He goes to Ty Johnson with no timeouts left. He's hit short of the goal line by Apple. 14-7 Dolphins into the locker room. What a sequence for the Bills. Allen still threw for 218 yards, and they had 286 total yards. The Bills did it offense, even though they were trailing. By the way, Gabe Davis hurt along the way. Let's keep our eye on that. A lot of injuries. Talk about you, Dan Campbell. We're coming up to that. Third quarter, Van Ginkle got hurt for the Dolphins on the opening drive. I mean, can the Dolphins lose more players on defense? Jeez. Miami 3 and out. Then Buffalo matriculated. Third and 13, though, with the Miami 21. Allen got sacked by Christian Wilkins. He fumbled it, and Wilkins recovered. More of the same for Buffalo. But then finally the game changed on the Jake Bailey subsequent punt. Deontay Hardy, 96 yards of the house, tied up at 14 with 13:42 to go. And then it was as if Miami couldn't do anything. Miami 3 and out. Buffalo 8 plays, 74 yards, 4:52 off the clock. Allen and Knox from 5 out. And the Bills lead it 21-14. Another 3 and out for Miami. Their fourth consecutive punt for the first time all year. What a time to do it with 6:14 to go.
Wow.
Then Buffalo had a fourth and inches at their own 35. Allen got 2 yards. Then third and 13, Allen converted. There was a penalty on Jalen Ramsey anyway. Then fourth and one at the Miami 37. Two-minute warning, Allen fails to convert. So Miami did get the ball back, down seven, taking over at their own 37 with 1:53 to go. Remember, contests were on the line for this drive right here. They get it to the Buffalo 40 with 1:17 left. And then Tua throws it into bracketed coverage to Chase Claypool.
Ugh.
And Taylor Rapp picks it off. Ball game. Bills win the AFC East. Tua 17 of 27 for 173. Where the Dolphins finish? 1 in 5 versus teams with winning records this year. Is that right?
Sounds right.
473 to 275 total yards disadvantage for Miami. They only had the ball 21:53 of the 60-minute clock. Miami 8-19 straight up the last. Okay, this is from Evan Abrams over at The Athletic. Over at the Action Network. Pardon me, Evan. Evan over at the Action Network. Miami, 8-19 straight up the last 20 years in sub-40 degree weather. He gets that from Bet Labs. And here's another thing from Evan Abrams. These are the three coldest games in Tua's career, if we could flash that back up. 29 degrees December of last year against the Bills. They lost by a field goal. But then before that, January of 21 and January of 22, in the 30s, in the high 30s, the Dolphins got housed in both of those games at Buffalo and at the Titans. Remember, this game, if you buy into that, and Lord knows we have in the past with Jared Goff, we have with Derek Carr, if you buy that with Tua, once again, single digits tops expected at Kansas City for this game on Peacock. Have I mentioned that?
Yeah, what did I hear last night? It's right now projected to be 0 degrees.
I heard 0 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said Kansas City -2.5. I heard it's higher.
It is higher. It is Kansas City 3.5.
Through the three for that. Listen, I know the Dolphins, they botched that last night. I know they got tons of injuries. But really, the Chiefs by more than a field goal?
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting here thinking the same thing, Gil, and we'll discuss this more obviously later. But sitting here thinking the same thing. I just don't know we could do anything till we see more of this injury news develop throughout
the week.
But I'm looking at that Dolphins side.
By the way, if Mahomes showed up and they won by 10, would I be that shocked? No, especially in that weather. But I don't know that that team has done anything to earn 3.5.
Yeah, I agree.
In that one. Those are the two Saturday games anyway. 3 on Sunday, 1 on Monday. We'll get to those. Numbers game. Wild card week. Love it. Right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
One of the one of the lines in that promo reminds me of that Dr. Pepper college football ad campaign.
Which one of 17?
Yeah, what is it called? Somethingville? What is it? I can't remember.
Oh yeah, I don't know. What Dr. Those? Pepperville, Fansville. Thank you, Matt.
Fansville. Thank you, Sean. That's one of those ad campaigns, by the way. If they had pitched it to me, I'd have been like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And now I kind of like it.
So, okay, I'm glad you brought this up because I think they're all dumb except for the, what is it, Caleb Williams, like walking under the ladders
great.
And stuff?
Yeah, the black cat good. And everything. Yeah, yeah. But there's one that they do now where it's like the boyfriend talking to the dad and then she throws a football and it hits him in the face. And he delivers one of the lines. He's like, oh, I love the Wildcat. Or he says something like that where I just every time he does it, I'm just like, oh, I love that formation or something like that.
I've seen that one.
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic. Just like would a guy in his 20s deliver a line that way. We get tweets of beating the book. Kevin Ryan, Gil, I too had the Cardinals win total under 4.5 and decided to take them yesterday +3. To wash my bet, not to be conspiracy theory guy, but I am sure Prater was told to miss those field goals as making them would have cost them Harrison in the draft. Will Hill had the same situation, and boy, did they thread that needle.
Yeah.
Cardinals lose by 1, 21-20. Prater misses not one, but 2 field goals at the end. When does that happen?
Oh, that was crazy. Yeah, I'm sitting here with Jared Smith going, he's going nuts yesterday. I mean, like, it's totally one you just didn't see coming, too, right?
Oh,
you know what I
totally.
Mean? Like, not until the final, like, minute are you like, wait a second, this could really happen. Like, wow.
Seahawks win. Entered that game with the chance to make the postseason. Didn't matter that they won. Primetime, Cowboys _ Cubs won. I'm sorry. Tribute to Kelly Bidlin. Unless somebody can attest to being in the same room with both Bill Adee and Larry Bud Melman, I ain't buying that they aren't the same person. Bill's a little slimmer than Larry Bud Melman was. Let me just say that. And this from Los Vegas 514. Oh, this is a big story, of course, this morning. Yo, recommendations for new coach for the Commodores from the diehard fan, Gil Alexander? Well, okay, in case you missed it this morning, Ron Rivera was let go by the Washington Commodores. Thank you, Lord. Probably something that was years after when it should have happened. But this is part of the purge. Dan Snyder, after 24 years of hell, Josh Harris. It was no secret that Ron Rivera would just play out the string here. So they're gone. And among those conducting the search, Bob Myers, the former Warriors GM, responsible for 4 Warriors titles, at least at the helm during 4 Warriors titles, and Rick Spielman, 30 years with the Vikings. They are going to conduct the search for an NFL coach and NFL head coach. And so to answer your question, Las Vegas, I hate these Bill Belichick rumors. Hate. I do not want them to hire Bill Belichick. I do not want them to hire, again, great Mount Rushmore of coaches. I get it. But I don't want them hiring a guy who's in his 70s, I'm not trying to be ageist, but a guy who's not going to be there for a long time, let's just be honest, and a guy who really haven't done anything in post-Brady. So it's like, I don't know what the allure here is of this.
It's amazing how a new team gets linked to him every single day.
I don't want it to happen. the pie in the sky, but he'd have no interest in coming, is Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh, by the way, for those who are like, I don't know about Jim Harbaugh, has won everywhere. And I'm not just talking about Michigan and Stanford and the Niners, but also at USD before he was at Stanford, at San Diego with the Toreros. The dude wins everywhere. Every one of his coaching records is a crescendo to as good as you can get. So he is a proven winner. He will produce a winner wherever he is. I would think that the Chargers are probably the front runner there, maybe the Raiders. I think that Mark Davis probably wants to shoot his shot before he goes to Antonio Pierce. But for the Commanders, here's what I would like for them to do. I won't even pick a name.
I don't think Belichick's going there.
To where?
To Washington.
Oh, no, he's not going to. Yeah. I hope not. I hope not.
I'm going to say he's at the Chargers and Harbaugh's with the Raiders.
Here's what I could be, but what I'll say to Washington is this. Go to everybody shows this graphic over and over and over again that embarrasses the organization, where Matt LaFleur, Mike McDonald, Kyle Shanahan, and Sean McVay were all on your coaching staff in 2013. Mike Shanahan's coaching tree. So you know what you should do? You should go to your coaching tree of choice, whoever you think is your North Star of a coaching tree, and pluck someone from that. That should be the way you conduct the search. That's my answer to that.
The only part I don't understand is, would you be that upset with Rick Spielman, running things more efficiently? Like, I don't really get the search committee sounds like a fine committee to help run your franchise. Like, even Bob Myers coming over from the NBA, like, that guy's smart enough with the financials stuff that, like, he could have a part in your organization. It's the only part I don't get. Catch everybody else up on Black Monday News. Let's see. We have
Arthur Smith, by the way, right after midnight, let go by the Atlanta Falcons after that awkward ending to the Saints-Falcons game yesterday.
Glorious ending, you mean?
The Saints punched it in because they wanted to get Jamal Williams a touchdown. Dennis Allen was not responsible for that play call. Jameis Winston and the players overruled him. And instead of it being 41-17, the final score was 48-17. Arthur Smith going crazy on Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen trying to tell him it wasn't me. He didn't buy it. He sort of mellowed after the game in the press conference. But, yeah,
I'm upset.
Right after midnight last night Eastern.
Sitting here doing live bet Sunday, didn't get to catch that chaos as we were trying to track all the other endings of the games. Oh, Jameis, I love you, man. That was the you've been riding me on the bench this whole year. Screw you, Dennis Allen. We're doing whatever the hell we want to do out here. Oh, my gosh, this little Willie Beeman moment right there.
Felt like Bush
League. Unapologetic completely afterwards.
It's so Bush League. And by the way, the take that I just laugh at the most is everybody who wants to be macho is like, it's football. You do what you want to do. You want to stop us. Yeah, there used to be a time in this world where people had class. But, I guess that's not the cool thing anymore.
Nope, not at all. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Panthers GM also gone. And then report from Bleacher Report this morning on Mike Vrabel has expressed interest in the idea of returning to the Patriots.
Oh, you just throw it out there.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't mind coming back to the team I played for.
Which does
Super Bowls.
Which does somehow feel like inevitable at some point that he takes that job.
It feels that way.
I'm not saying it's this year or whatever, but it feels like he's there at some point.
Let's just talk about that for a second since you bring it up. Titans come out and they blast the Jags. I know it was dicey there for a second, but really the Titans blasted them 28-20. Most disappointing season of all, Jaguars, given how it finished. We're going to get to this in a bit. So the Jaguars were 8-3. They end up 9-8 out of the playoffs. Kelly and a bunch of folks here had the Jags. That was your favorite preseason bet, right?
Yep.
Jaguars to win the AFC South. The Eagles, 10-1, lose 5 out of their last 6. No, pardon me, they weren't 10-1. No, they were. Then they lose 5 out of their last 6. And they end up 11-6 on the season. Now, I was trying to think of an equivalent for the Eagles, and we will get to them. But we're just trying to think of an equivalent to the Eagles, the way that they have stumbled into the postseason.
Yeah.
And the first thing that Will Hill, I'll give him credit, because the first thing he threw out was the 1986 Jets, who famously, for those of us who were around them, this was a year where the Giants were the best team, and they won the Super Bowl. Washington was probably the second best team, but Giants beat them Parcells in the AFC Championship 17 to nothing. They had swept Washington that year. But in the AFC, the Jets were 10-1. It was a Ken O'Brien year. Then they lost their last five games, 16-game schedule. They lost their last five games, and they still got in the playoffs as a wild card, as a 10-6. By that time, Ken O'Brien had been benched. Pat Ryan was the quarterback. They end up winning a wild card game and then losing in the divisional round in Cleveland in a game that got to a second overtime. But the point is that they were like these Eagles at one point in the season, roughly around the same exact time, exactly the same around time. It was like, oh, this team is so good. This team is amazing. They find ways to win. That was the thing with the Eagles. Whew, I don't know, man. That, of all these lines to guess, that ended up being the toughest one between the Eagles and the Bucs on Monday night. In the end, though, it becomes this very strange, very strangely interesting game nonetheless.
Yes. It does, yeah. I agree.
Because you have this Eagles team that was once thought of as good that sucks now. The Giants destroyed them yesterday.
Yeah.
27-10. Hurts hurt his finger. AJ Brown hurt his knee. We got to check on that.
I don't think they have a chance if AJ Brown's not in there. I think that's how important he is.
Well, I don't know. Well, we'll get to it. I don't know why I jumped ahead because we were talking about the Jags, but
yeah.
Just like those Jets figured out a way to win that first game in the playoffs in 1986, I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles figure it's the Bucks, for God's sake. We'll get to that. We got a whole bunch more to get to. Four more games entirely. We'll do that. And then Chris Felica on the championship game tonight between Michigan and UW. Where does he stand? And what impact will it have at the top of the draft? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada, here at the D, the Barrage. Felica is mad at me, and he's correct to be mad at me. He was the one who came up with the 86 Jets as a first salvo on what's the equivalent to this year's Eagles. He said, and he's correct, he says, I was the one sitting at the Meadowlands watching Kevin MacArthur return a pick off of Bill Kenny for a touchdown. You're right, you deserve the credit for sitting through that. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Trip Tepper informing me that the Washington Taco Holders already have 2 targets per Tom Pelissero. They've requested interviews with Lions OC and DC, Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. Ben Johnson's going to get a lot of run from a lot of teams. Jordan Pagel. Love the Week 18 season-ending, season-long bet sweats. The Packers-Bears game netted me the Bears under 7.5, Packers all to over 8.5, and Packers to make the playoffs. And then the miracle And then the miracle of all miracle cashes, Eagles somehow going under 11.5, which is amazing. J&J Watering Hole informing us the Eagles, the first team in NFL history to start 10-1 and not get to 12 wins. He says, I hear you on them finding a way, but there's no way to honestly bet hard-earned money on them this week. J&J, I cannot disagree with that. Cannot disagree with that. And this is from Greg Jones, one of the 4 survivors in the 2023 Circus Survivor, netting over $2.3 million. Golf clap from Kelly.
Congratulations.
Standing ovation to all 4 of y'all. He says, so many thanks to go around. Derek Stevens, Jeff Benson, Las Vegas Will, and all the great people, Circa, Fezzik, Captain Jack, Unabated, Joe Pita, Deep Dive Pod. He cites me as well. Listen, I did nothing for you. It was all you. Good for you. And congratulations again to all contest winners. What a moment in their lives. Just what a moment.
Yeah. What a moment.
And it's like incredible. When I asked Greg, I was like, you know, is this more stressful than the contest itself, the monetization of it down the stretch? Before I could even finish, he's like, you have no idea. You're right. I don't.
Yeah, no idea. I wish I could relate.
For me, it's all hypothetical. It's all imaginary. Let's get into these games. Sunday morning. Pardon me.
10 Pacific time, 1 o'clock Eastern, Steelers at the Bills,
which became, because of last night's result of the Bills beating the Dolphins, and their come-from-behind win, this becomes the 7-2 game. The Steelers get into the play. Not only do they get Mike Tomlin a 17th straight win of non-losing seasons. By the way, I don't know if you heard about that. Pittsburgh gets in the playoffs. Unbelievable. At 10-7. They're at Buffalo. Now, talking about weather. I looked at the weather forecast. I saw 30-mile-per-hour winds. I have heard people throw around 50-mile-per-hour winds.
That's sustained, too. Not gusts.
So let's just say I'm right and they're not. It's still 30. Yeah. Oh, my God.
The way I heard it was it's going to be 50 before the game, around the chunk that you're talking about during the game, and calms down after the game. So depending on how the weather moves this week, it could be 35, could be worse than 35, could be way better than 35.
Remember that game in Buffalo with the crosswinds?
Yes.
Was that during the pandemic? It was against New England.
Was that year?
Remember, that was the day that afterwards Lombardi violently disagreed with me. His words, not mine. Violently disagreed with me about how the wind was circulating in that stadium.
Yeah, I don't remember what year that was.
Yeah. Either way, that could be this. Buffalo's we talked about, beating the Dolphins last night. There was a situation where if they had lost, they would have been out of there. But as it turned out, they had clinched before this game had even started. It was just a matter of seeding, and they get the title for the division. Allen, 30 of 38 for 359. Two touchdowns, but two picks, and a fumble lost. He was 15 for 67 on the ground. Khalil Shakir was his big target yesterday, 6 for 105. And they outgained Miami, 473 to 275. Pittsburgh, they get their winning in the rain in Baltimore on Saturday. I had the Ravens plus the 4. That did not get home. Steelers ended up, it was a 7-7 game. First play of the fourth quarter, Rudolph to Deontay for 71. That's what broke it open. And when I say it was only a one-score game, that felt like a breaking open of the game because of the weather conditions. 14-7 Pittsburgh, first play of the fourth quarter. Baltimore punt, Pittsburgh 3-and-out. Baltimore 2nd-and-3 at their own 27. That's when Gus was hit by Keanu Benton. He fumbled. Marcus Golden recovered with 7:14 left. That led to a Boswell 25-yard field goal. And at that point, 17-7 was insurmountable. Tucker did get a field goal, but there's only 16 seconds left in the game, and the onside kick failed. Ball game. Steelers won. They needed either a Bills loss, didn't happen, or before that, a Jaguars loss to get into the postseason. They got that one. Steelers in. I guessed 10 here in favor of the Bills.
Yeah, so this one has been moving. We are currently, we're just going to
Both spread and total have moved.
Yes, both spread and total. This opened right around 10. It was, I was just checking. I think it's pretty much 10 everywhere. It came down a bit to 9.5. Spread-wise, came down to 9.5. It's basically painted 10 now everywhere. And then this total, yes, as people have been picking up on the weather stuff that could impact this game, this total opened at 40.5. We're down to 37.5 right now.
And could come down lower.
Oh, yeah.
If the weather indicates it. And could go low, and then if we get closer to game time and we find out the weather is not going to be as bad in terms of the wind, it could skyrocket up at that point.
I mean, it definitely tells you by the movement we've seen here that there is a lot of early interest in the Buffalo side, though, right? For that to still remain at 10 and that total come down, you would expect that spread to come down a little bit. I think the books want to avoid teaser range big time on this one.
Yeah. Though I will say this, again, through three games here, right, we had, the Cleveland-Houston game, Cleveland favored by less than a field goal. Kansas City favored by more than a field goal hosting Miami. I think that's a little high, but, like, I'm not going crazy about it, but I do think it's a little high. And then here, Buffalo by 10. Like, there isn't anything that seems all that bettable to me, just like racing to bet sort of thing. And in this one here, I guess I just want to ask a question about the Bills. With the Josh Allen, because I have, so the exact as I have are Niners to beat the Ravens, Niners to beat the Bills, Niners to beat the Chiefs. I have them all in double digits. Bills being the highest of that bunch, or the longest. I also have the Ravens to beat the Niners to cover me up on the other side. I like the way it's set up for my exactas. But let me just ask you about the Bills. Would you be surprised by anything from them? So I know we've talked about them along with the Browns. Some people down the stretch of the season were like, oh, you know, the question, who's the one team you think can beat the Ravens?
Right.
Who's the team you don't want to play in the playoffs? A lot of people say Browns. A lot of people say Bills. Now, I'm not saying in this game against the Steelers, because I think they're just a better football team than the Steelers. But if they put up a clunker and got beat, would you be all that surprised? If Josh Allen just had a 3-turnover game, he had one last night, for God's sakes, right?
Yeah.
And just had a clunker of a game and got bounced out, I wouldn't be that surprised either.
No, me either, unfortunately. Look, I think they're probably second highest ceiling in the AFC behind the Ravens. I think when you just talk pure, these teams running pure, Baltimore is absolutely number one. I think Buffalo would be number two. But when you talk lowest floors, Buffalo's probably right there with almost every one of these other teams.
Who, and I'll even include the Ravens in this because they've had the sketchy playoff history. Give me your trust rankings of these teams in the AFC.
Oh, boy.
Ravens are one, even with that history, to me.
Ravens are one.
But
yeah,
like,
Ravens are still one.
After that, you struggle for a two.
Well, the problem is that I think a lot of people would look Chiefs or Dolphins, right? But I'm that's a coin flippy game to me.
These
right
teams
now
are so, like, the Chiefs could lay an egg. Nobody would be surprised. They've laid tons of them this year down the stretch.
Okay, so number two for me would be Buffalo, but I think that answers right away then how wide open I think this AFC is.
And if you go to Cleveland,
and I'll include Baltimore. Yes, Baltimore is one to me.
You're right,
but I wouldn't be shocked if they lose.
That's why I include them, because given the history, you have to include them. But I think the people whose instinct right now are yelling Browns also, you and I sort of have the same feeling about the Browns, which is things are happening besides the table here. I think this thing with the Browns is I still think Flacco has a horrible game in him.
Yeah, me too.
And we haven't seen it yet.
I think it's coming at some point, yep.
Now, by the way, it should be mentioned that I think if we go back to 2012, I probably thought that through the 2012 postseason until we got to the Super Bowl and then I was on the Ravens.
Great point. Yeah. If you're going to be fair about
yes
it, I've said this a lot about Joe Flacco probably in his career.
And again, I'll say it again. If they win the Super Bowl, he's in the Hall of Fame. Right to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting question. Like, who do you trust in the AFC? We could say the same in the NFC past the Niners, which we will. We'll get into the other games. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It all comes from the Barrage, Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Kelly Bidlin alongside for the wild card weekend, which to me is just six NFL playoff games, one of the great weekends of the entire sports and sports betting calendar. I am, by the way, as much as we love football, and football, I mean, it's our livelihood. It is so much fun. And in July and in February, we crave football. You know, there are a couple down months of the calendar year where we wish football was upon us. But I got to tell you, like, I'm ready for all the regular season teams that didn't make the postseason to disappear.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't need to see the Falcons and the Commanders and all these teams anymore. Goodbye.
Or even, like, being, like, just tempted to make a bet on a Carolina Panthers side
right
or something like
yeah
that. Yeah, yeah. See ya. Let's get out. Let's
go
move on.
Let's
to
get
the playoffs.
On with it.
Yeah.
Let's do this. By the way, how do you, I know I've said the Peacock thing a few times here. How do you feel about the fact that besides the Miami and Kansas City metropolitan areas that people must purchase Peacock to watch an NFL playoff game?
I feel for all the local newspapers and news stations out there, they're going to get a lot of calls that night of being like, where's the football
such
game
Such a
at?
Great point.
But
such a great point.
But having said that, Gil, I don't know, man. It's 2024. Like, we've moved. This has been coming for a few years now. Like, we get on board. If you're going to watch sports, this is the future of watching sport. Not the future, this is the present of watching
sports. It's also one of those things that we've known for a while, but we knew that once this week came that people would be like, what do you mean I got to buy Peacock? So
yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a bit of like just for me betting golf. It's already been such a thing the past 2 years where you're like, all right, this week, where am I streaming golf at? Like,
right,
the first
but the
rounds.
The NFL is part of the culture, man. The NFL is the one thing where like the average American believes it's their birthright to be able to watch this, and so to put it on streaming, which is nothing but an additional money grab, right? But what did Peacock paid $110?
Well, I mean,
$110 million for this?
I mean, the part that I guess is a little confusing about that, I mean, that's Peacock. That's NBC owned, right? So NBC is clearly pushing its own streaming service. Oh. I don't want to say above its own network channel, but it's basically telling you, hey, this is where you need to go because this is where stuff's going to be from now on.
All right, so two games on Saturday, the second of which, the Chiefs and the Dolphins, is only streaming besides in Miami and Kansas City. Then we have three on Sunday and one on Monday. Second game on Sunday, what are we up to?
Yeah, this is 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific time, Packers at Cowboys.
All right, Cowboys did what they needed to do against the Commodores, whatever you want to call them. I think that name's going away, by the way. Cowboys win at 38-10. By the way, we're throwing out some notes on the Washington this morning. This is from, I want to get the source correct here. This is from the Junkies. Oh, this is Sports Junkies down in D.C. This is Washington's offense with Scott Turner last year as their OC. 20th in yards per game, 24th in points per game. This year under Eric Bieniemy, 24th in yards per game, 25th in points per game. Goodness.
Ouch.
So Cowboys get the number two seed. They win the NFC East. Philadelphia obviously was in a position where if they had won and the Cowboys had lost, they would have gotten it. That obviously didn't come close to happening. So Cowboys get the number two seed. They host the Packers here. The Packers beat the Bears yesterday. They were in a win and they're in situation, and they get that win. There was a scenario where if the Packers lost, somehow they could have gotten in, but thankfully for them, it didn't have to come to that. They did take care of business. Jordan Love, 27 of 32 in the Packers' 17-9 win over the Bears. 27 of 32 for 316 yards. Two touchdowns, no picks. Now, I said this before the season started many times. And at first, early in the season, didn't look like it was going to come to fruition. But boy, has it. Which is, if you hold a clipboard under the same system for many years, multiple years, in his case, two. If you hold it for multiple years under the same system, and in his case, under the same Hall of Fame quarterback that he got to see, you usually end up being pretty good. And I cited any number of quarterbacks that played in the Washington organization, from Rippon to Humphreys to Trent Green, on and on and on. In the old days of football, the 80s, the ancient times of the 80s and 90s, you got to hold a clipboard for years, and then you ended up good if you were under the same system. It's a very continuity-based game, football. But we're in this time period where teams can't afford, because of economic structure, to have that happen, and so we're not used to seeing it. Jordan Love was in this very strange situation where he did get to do that. And I said it multiple times, you usually end up pretty good. He didn't end up pretty good, Kelly. This comes to us from Cleve T.A., who we've cited already on this show. Jordan Love ends up finishing fifth in EPA per dropback in the entire National Football League. So in expected points added, Jordan Love, fifth in the entire National Football League. They go into Dallas. I said Dallas minus 10. Now, Dallas got everything they wanted because they had those home road splits, remember, where they ended up undefeated at home. I know, Detroit Lions. It still happened. Undefeated at home, and they ended up with a losing record on the road. 8-0 at home, 4-5 on the road. So they get what they want. I said 10 here. I'm going to assume it's right around there.
No, this is This is Cowboys 7.5.
Wow.
And I think that there were some sevens out there even. I know I saw at least one or two sevens when it first opened. Pretty quickly went 7.5, though. It is 7.5 painted everywhere. Look, Jordan Love has been.
I say wow because I thought this would have come up.
Yeah, like Jordan Love's been awesome. I think your guess is. Oh, I typed that in wrong. I think your guess, though, is closer to the way I feel about what this game should be truly lined. I think 7.5 is still a little light.
I would love nothing more than for Jordan Love to come in here and just go to town. Do I believe that will happen? I do not. But I would love to see
this. You broke it down. Like, yes, he's had a great year. I don't really know that me or you, I'm not going to speak for you, but I don't really know that we had either high or low expectations for him this year. It was really a wait-and-see approach on what Jordan Love was going to be, at least for me, this year.
Oh, I was higher than the average person. The average person thought he was going to stink. Let's not forget that.
Second half of the season was awesome, and there's some big-time wins in there. I mean, Kansas City, Detroit, right? I mean, these last – I'm not going to go crazy. I think like a lot of people are over these last 5 weeks. I mean, it's Chicago, Minnesota, Carolina, Tampa Bay, and – in New York. You go into Dallas and win this type of game,
yeah.
I think that brings this story to the next level. It makes it a little bit more real for me with Jordan Love. But I got to see that first. I'm definitely leaning towards the Dallas side.
Great job from him. Great job from Matt LaFleur. 9-8 they end up. They get into the postseason against the 12-5 Cowboys. But I'm with you. I'd love to see it. I don't see it happening in my mind's eye. The flip side of that Packers-Bears game, though, goes to the top of the NFL draft, which is Justin Fields in what probably is his final, probably, maybe I shouldn't use that word, but many think is probably his last game with the Chicago Bears. He seemed to think so afterwards, said some words that sort of indicated that. No one game is a reflection of an entire career in one uniform, but yesterday's game was kind of appropriate. He was just kind of ho-hum in that game. And I'll stand by what I said, you know, in the last couple weeks, which is, it's this fascinating thing where if you're one of these other bad teams in the NFL, like a Washington, and you say to yourself, hey, if we had Justin Fields, would we have won more games? And the answer is probably yes, you would have. But the economic structure of the NFL is such that the Bears are better off drafting a rookie quarterback, and Washington is better off drafting a rookie quarterback at number two. 1 and 2, the Bears via the Panthers and that Bryce Young trade have the first pick. The Commanders have the second. The Pats have the third. They're looking for a quarterback. Cardinals at 4 are going to stick with Kyler Murray. He's already signed his big deal, one would assume. So you could see quarterback going 1, 2, 3. I don't think a team's going to give up a haul for Justin Fields. I could be wrong, but I just don't know that there is a team that will. I know the Bears are hoping there's a team out there.
Yeah.
But right now, tonight's game is going to be very interesting, right? Because Michael Penix gets his final shot at impressing a country, you know, of GMs, and specifically of the Chicago brass and Washington brass and all three teams, New England at the top. And J.J. McCarthy also will have something to say tonight as well, although he's not considered as high as Penix or Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels. But that's going to, I mean, and you know how teams get on a down year with quarterbacks during a draft, how quarterback crazy they get. And justifiably so, you're nothing without a quarterback in this league. But you can only win a Super Bowl, once again, for the 100,000th time on this show, with a quarterback overperforming on a rookie contract where you can pay everybody else, or if you're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And Justin Fields ain't that.
I mean, and you said it perfectly. It all just comes down to the economics of the NFL. I don't think that there's, you know, like you and I have talked about it a bunch with Justin Fields and what the Bears should do next year. It's the finances put him in the situation of you've got to go and draft someone and let him go. I think so, at least. And then the only problem is I don't think you're going to get a haul for Justin Fields just because any team that you're negotiating with knows that you're negotiating from a point of
a disadvantaged
point, right, where you're trying to get rid of Justin Fields. So you're not going to get the best offers that you could possibly get, but they're still going to make out very well for themselves.
For sure. Some team will covet him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, and I wouldn't be surprised, yeah, if it goes quarterback, quarterback, quarterback here.
But who goes first at this point? Who goes second? Who goes third? Is anybody's best guess between Drake May and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels? Caleb Williams, DC kid, just want to point that out.
Those odds did move, by the way, in the past 24, 48 hours. Caleb Williams up to minus 800. I think it was -5 for most of the past couple months.
Are you convinced he's better than the other than Drake May and Jaden Daniels? Miller Moss looked pretty darn good with USC in that bowl game. I'll tell you that much. We'll come back. A couple more games to get to. And the college football championship tonight with Felica. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge through the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up today. Get your first 30 days for only $9.99 to see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. We get tweets. At Beating the Book, Kelly had no idea the peacock thing was going to have people buzzing like this, but my God, we are overrun by this. Trevor Warwick, they put the Casey game on Peacock to on purpose. It's their way to get all the Swifties to sign up. Mike Rouse, if you're outside of Miami and KC, you must download the Peacock app. Then and only then can you watch the game. Yeah, we said that, Mike. Mike Stacks, for all the wrestling fans out there, you need Peacock to watch pay-per-view. Having NFL on there is a nice bonus if you've signed up already. Brandon Webb, Pujols' 700th home run was on Peacock exclusively. Couldn't even watch it at local stations around the St. Louis area. It's a travesty. Michael Burns, zero chance I watch the Peacock game. I barely watch games all year. I bet but hardly watch. I bet but hardly watch. Work-related, I'll be sleeping. Jeffrey R., $70 for 6 months and I get everything on TV? Downside is no DVR. Pause or rewind. I'd be happy to share the hookup for the name of the specific sushi joint. And Ryan Hyatt, best thing about the video promo for Bill 80's morning newsletter, the epic Lefty Rosenthal Sam Rothstein glasses Bill wears while writing. Well played, boys, assuming they were borrowed from Gil. No, those are his. He wears them all the time. On and on with the Peacock stuff, Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this one from SoCal Fantasy with the playoff.
Oh, right. That's one, too.
Game being on a streaming service. Can you guys talk about how this affects the live betting market with the delay? I think the books are watching on a delay, too, but I could be wrong.
I can only speak for we're in Nevada. When I had Cox Cable, we've talked about this before. Parles and I used to talk about this all the time.
Yep.
Cox Cable here in Nevada is worse than the streaming in terms of a delay. So it's no, like, what was it? Jeff's example was his dad was 5 miles away from a stadium in New York. And, or he, no, Jeff was 5 miles away from the stadium here in Vegas. And his dad in New York was seeing it before he was.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I would say with, it depends where you live. How about that? I think that here in Nevada, we probably encounter what he's talking about more than the rest of the country, which just there are books here that are setting their own live numbers during commercial breaks and stuff. So, yes, that might more align with where the streaming's at. Otherwise, all these books are just going off of what the actual game feed is, right, which is not – what you're seeing, you know, play-by-play, live play-by-play at ESPN and stuff like that, that's what the actual game time is, not what you're seeing directly on the streaming service. What is nice about a lot of the sports books these days, and we even have a couple, I mean, Caesars being one of them, a lot of times they're putting score and time now, yeah, even in the app. I think that's a great addition. Gives you an idea. You can kind of compare to the TV where you at in the game.
But the answer safely is always just wait till the commercials.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Just don't even try to buck.
Is that something you even try anymore? Even think of these days?
I don't. I'll wait till a commercial in a tennis match. I will wait till a commercial in football games.
Yeah, I mean for NBA you have to, like, there's can't even think about it.
In NFL that's not true though.
I mean, NFL maybe the beginning of a
NFL
drive on
drive
their own
or,
end
or the end of a drive and the end of a half. I do it in game in NFL.
Okay.
I take that back. Or in college
and
football.
That's what I was mainly asking about, cuz I've gotten to the point where I don't even try. I just wait for a commercial.
Football I try. Football's the one exception, I think, for me. There's a couple more. Jason H. 11, first Sunday ticket, then Amazon Prime, now Peacock. All that and have Brad Allen's crew screw up my bet. Not going to do it. I'll be watching primetime golf from Hawaii Saturday night. And X Prime, one more. I look at the Peacock NFL game like this. You can pay for a month of service. You can watch the game on Saturday night and the WWE Royal Rumble later on in the month. So everybody's got a thought on it.
Every one of these streaming services has something else for you. Like, that's all the wrestling people bring it up, Peacock. Yeah, they have it already.
Sunday night, what do we got?
Sunday night, Rams at Lions.
Rams end up with the sixth seed because Carson Wentz leads the come-from-behind win against the Niners yesterday. Give it up for Carson Wentz, everybody.
Yeah.
Anyone? No? Nobody? Okay. 22-21, they get it. Excuse me, 21-20, pardon me. They get it done against the Niners yesterday, come from behind. Puka gets his records. He needed four catches and 30 yards. He had a touchdown early. By the way, he was two catches and 2 yards short for an uncomfortable period of time yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Before he got it early.
Did anybody post props, by the way? Did anybody?
Not
like,
that I saw.
I was looking before games, a couple different spots. I didn't see anybody post that.
Sets the rookie records for both receptions and receiving yards. And as someone holding Puka Nacua, Offensive Rookie of the Year tickets, let me just say, C.J. Stroud should be the rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Even with all that. And here's just another way to just sort of put C.J. Stroud into context. This from Doug Clawson. C.J. Stroud, the third quarterback in the last 50 seasons to lead the NFL in pass yards per game and touchdown-to-pick ratio, along with, you ready for these two names? Joe Montana in 1989 and Tom Brady in 2007. I'll have to look up those two guys.
It's not bad. It's not horrible.
C.J. Stroud. They made the playoffs. He should be the rookie of the year. I think D'Amico should be the coach of the year. That's just me. But to me, the only two awards that are debatable in my head, and I get it, D'Amico, reasonable minds can disagree, but defensive rookie of the year and defensive player of the year to me are still anybody's guess.
Yeah.
I think DeMar is comeback player of the year. I don't think there's a doubt there either now.
I only kind of laugh because, like, do you have a bet in defensive rookie or defensive player of the year?
I do not.
Yeah, I don't either, so yeah. I don't really care. I don't know about you, but I'm like defensive player of the year, give it one of the stud pass rushers who's going to continue to be a stud pass rusher for the next several years. And then defensive rookie of the year, I mean, we did so much on that last week. Like, I don't know, roll a dice.
We have screens behind Kelly's head, and this red, you know, the red bar at the bottom comes up, breaking news, and I'm like, oh, another coach got fired. So as you're talking, I'm looking past you. The Islanders have signed William Nylander to an 8-year deal. Apparently that's huge.
Always 8-year deals.
Huge news. $92 million. So it's the Rams at the Lions. Rams end up with a 6 seed. Lions end up with a 3. And I don't know. Listen, the Lions could have gotten a number 2 yesterday. I get it. Had the Cowboys and Eagles both lost, and the Lions beat the Vikings. Vikings, by the way, had an outside shot to get in. That didn't happen yesterday as the Lions win at 30-20. But, I mean, you know, Dan Campbell's got this one gear where he's like, we're at the 7-yard line. We still must go for the 2-point conversion. I'm awesome, and I'm tough guy, and I'm the opposite of Brandon Staley. I want everybody to know I'm the opposite of Brandon Staley. Yeah, but then you're playing players yesterday in a game that remotely could get you to the second seed. Let's face it. And the Cowboys blasted the Commanders as they were supposed to. The Lions do beat the Vikings 30-20, but along the way, Kelly, Sam Laporta wrenches his leg in the second quarter when his foot gets stuck in the turf. He's carted off. He has a hyperextended knee. He's out indefinitely.
Brutal.
And then in the second half, Khalif Raymond gets hurt. He exits with a knee injury. So, I mean, in the wash, was that really worth it? I say that knowing the answer.
I was going to say, I mean, no, but really easy for us to say now.
Well, but no. I mean, it's not armchair quarterbacking. It's you can only get to the number 2 seed, and the Cowboys are double-digit favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing?
Now, I don't know.
It's different for, you know, the Steelers. T.J. Watt got hurt in a game they had to win. And by the way, T.J. Watt probably out of this game against in the playoffs against the Buffalo Bills. But this is kind of malpracticey. I'm sorry, it is. I know people love to murder a nerd like Brandon Staley, but they don't like to do it to a tough guy like Dan Campbell. Just like, you got to score that touchdown in the Saints game, and if you can't stop us, it's football. Too bad. All right. Way to go, Dan Campbell.
I'm more okay with it than you are. I'm going to assume that there was some plan that if they got up big in this game, they were going to pull guys or something like that. And I think if you're the Lions, you got to sit back and look realistically. Do you think you're going to be able to go on the road to Dallas or Philadelphia? If Philadelphia had won yesterday and maybe looked a whole lot better, are they going to go on the road and pick up a W? I think the Lions just more being realistic with who they are, and they know that I think in their minds they needed to play a home game in this second round to have a chance.
See, you're one of them.
You
want to give excuses to Dan Campbell?
No excuses. I guess, yeah.
I said 4.5 here, Lions.
4.5. This is 3.5 Lions.
So the notion that the Rams
had gone down to 3. This is ticking back to 3.5.
Yeah. So this is the Goff Stafford, you know, trade playoff rematch, or not rematch in a playoff, but the playoff referendum of that trade, if you will.
Yeah.
After Stafford has won a Super Bowl. Not really a referendum, but you get the idea.
Man, some interesting movement on these games.
Can you see the Rams coming in and just beating them outright? Stafford?
Sure.
So could I. And if the Lions, this is tough. This is where it should be, too. I think the line is where it should be. If the Lions won by double digits, would you be all that surprised?
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't know that this is a game.
I'd be a little more surprised by that.
I don't know that this is a game I'm going to have much interest in getting involved. Totals at 51.5. I would be looking at a lot of points being scored. I think that number is pretty fair, too. This movement is interesting, though, because it opened. You know, opened 3 most places, went to 3.5. I'm even looking at a 4 at Circa. Back to 3.5 is kind of where it's painted.
The notion of the Rams being underrated is not at play.
Right, yeah.
All right, one more game to get to in the national championship with Chris Velika. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Golden Bear. Maybe that Golden Bear.
What's up, Golden Bear?
Yeah. Nice job on all those majors. Hey, Gil, been a while. I haven't seen the show much since you moved to the D. Is it cold down there? You always look bundled up. I just wanted to ask. LOL, love your show. Tennis is back soon. Oh, tennis is back already. Trust. Again, VSiN.com/picks for all the tennis picks. They're in Australia here on the run-up to the Australian Open, the draw for which is later this week. Drew Dinsick and I doing a Australian Open pod on Friday at Beating the Book. But I've been betting Hobart and Auckland and what other?
When do we go to Adelaide?
Brisbane. Oh, we're in Adelaide today.
Adelaide today?
We're in Adelaide.
I love Adelaide.
Adelaide.
I could say that all day.
So, yeah, that's going on right now. This is from Chili Gambler. I don't get all these. Like, what if the Bears traded down to 2, he says, took whichever quarterback, then traded Fields? How much do you think they could get? Could they get a first next year for dropping to 2? I don't think if I'm Washington, you don't really, it's not that enticing to go to 1. Because you have to recognize what an inexact science, if you're Washington, you have to recognize what an inexact science picking quarterback is. And even if you're dead set on one of these guys, I still wouldn't trade up to 1 and give a haul. I'd just be like, yeah, you take whoever you want. I'm good.
Ask the Carolina Panthers about that, right?
I mean, it's just there's the notion that you would – the Bears are not operating from a point of power to me.
That is the way of putting it, yes. I mean, it's the same thing we talked about last segment with trading Justin Fields in general. It's not going to say it's not going to happen, but it's just – like Washington or any of those teams below the Bears, they know what you're trying to do. Like, it's not.
I guess what I'm saying is you're not getting a package where, like, Washington's giving you their number 2 and 1 next year or
right.
1 the fall. It's not happening. John Baldussi said, you said Wookiee contract. I did say Wookiee
contract.
You
did say Wookiee contract. Yeah. Oh, I almost made it. Oh, well. I'm glad someone else caught it.
Tony Farmer agreed on Dan Campbell deserving criticism for not resting key players, but he's just the one who got caught speeding. Shanahan had Nick Bosa playing in the second half, and San Francisco had even less to play for. Imagine if Bosa went down. It's a quality point. Mick Jackson is upset because as I was looking past your head, I took it as Nylander got signed by the Islanders, somehow got Islanders. He says the Maple Leafs. Come on, not the
get
Islanders.
It together. And isn't it Nylander?
Nylander, correct.
I don't even know.
I don't know. Jonathan Call. He's defending Dan Campbell, too. He goes, still got to dress 53 players. They can't make them all inactive. Laporta injury, unfortunate. Raymond was getting more snaps because J-Mo was inactive. If the injury happened in the second half while up double digits, I would agree 100. Sorry, I can't get with it. Blue Hen Bill signing up for Peacock is easy. Let's see how easy it is to cancel. Probably.
Oh gosh.
Probably as easy as getting Gil to give us the sushi place.
That is such a great point. Have you ever tried to cancel any of these subscription services? I haven't.
This is such a great point by Blue Hen Bill. If you ask me right now, how many different ones are you signed up for?
You and I have talked about this, man.
I don't have an answer for you.
I know.
And if I wanted to cancel, I don't know what the process is.
Me either. My answer, Whitney, how many am I signed up for? All of them that I think you can think of I'm signed up for on top of my cable bill. It's ridiculous.
What's that company that came up with that great idea to put them all
like
in one
Rocket
app?
Mortgage Rocket, or something? Yeah. You and I have literally talked about that commercial so many times. It's so true.
So
the manager subscriptions one. But it's wild because I have thought about that canceling the subscription thing before. Have you ever tried to cancel on like DirecTV? Was the craziest one of my life of trying to cancel because I was moving somewhere where I couldn't have a satellite dish.
Oh, they won't let you out of it.
Oh, my. They're like, well, what if we give you – you're signed up for NBA League Pass. Yeah. What if we gave you that for next year for free? What if we gave you the NFL Sunday ticket for free? What if we gave you a movie package for free? I'm like, wait a second. Shouldn't I just be canceling the bill every year then because you're going to offer me like $300 worth of stuff? Like, this is incredible.
They were notorious for that.
It was wild. All right, you ready for Monday night? Eagles at the Buccaneers.
Okay, when this became apparent that this was the matchup, this became the sort of one that induced the smile because you're like, wow, what do you do with this? Eagles get crushed by the Giants. Jalen Hurts hurts his finger. A.J. Brown hurts his knee. Hurts completed seven forward passes before he was relieved for Marcus Mariota, who completed seven forward passes of his own for 55 yards. Eagles were once 10-1. They lost five of their last six. And then there's Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay had to beat Carolina to win the NFC South. If they lost, they were donezo. Oh, they beat them all right. 9-0 in what can only be described. Should I spend 30 seconds just going through this game? No, I shouldn't. Because all it is punt, 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 punt.
I feel like I barely saw it.
Punt, 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 punt. Three and out. Punt, 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 punt. There was a moment in this game, by the way, when it was scoreless. And Carolina had a third and fourth at the Tampa Bay 43. And Bryce went to DJ Chark for 42. And then he jumped and stretched into the end zone. And Antoine Winfield hit him and he fumbled the ball.
Yep. The obvious rule of then the other team gets the ball.
McLaughlin, three field goals. And then, by the way, Tampa Bay, this is how lovely this game was. Tampa Bay ran out the clock starting with – how much time did they have left? Anyway, they had the ball. They never gave it back. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, this game was over with other games that had so much time left on the clock.
It was brutal. So Tampa Bay gets in the postseason. They get in at 9-8. They're hosting a playoff game. New Orleans and Atlanta had a chance to get in the postseason, had Tampa Bay lost. New Orleans actually had another way to get in, even in the late window, but they didn't get in. I said Philly minus 2.5. That was my guess here. Oh, excuse me. Philly minus 3 was my guess. Pardon me.
Okay. Interesting. This was, I believe, open 2.5 everywhere. A lot of action on this game this morning. This is, if you are interested in Philly 2.5, I would get there now. I'm looking at basically all 2.5s juiced now.
I am interested in that.
We're up to minus 120, minus 125. We're gone to 3 at DraftKings already. 3 on this game.
J&J Watering Hole's point is well taken on Twitter earlier, which is how can you put your money behind the Eagles at this point? You're right about that, man. It ain't fun. And is there any reason to expect them to perform in any way different? But my God, just like those 86 Jets, which we brought up earlier, who were 10-1 and finished the season 10-6, they figured out a way to win that wild card game that year, too, before succumbing in the division round. I've got to believe the Eagles can beat this team. Like, I have to believe that, right?
I'm with you. Sitting here today, I'm not ready to bet this game. does that mean I'm going to miss 2.5s and not have a chance at that again and probably not end up betting this? Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen.
If you ask me the question, and I will ask it of myself and I will ask it of you right now, which is the, of all these spreads, Is there one that you love the most? You have bet two things already, right?
I have made two bets. Yes, I did a 7-point teaser with the Bills and Cowboys last night.
Everybody's favorite teaser.
When it was 9.5, yeah, I'm sure. And then, but we're back to tens basically everywhere in that Bills Steelers game. And then I bet the other one that I thought was a little bit of an overreaction on the opener, Browns Texans. The total opened at like 45.5, I think it was. Man, it got bet immediately to the under. It bottomed out at 43 at stations. I thought that was just a little too low for this game. So I bet the over on Cleveland-Houston actually at 43. You know, we've seen those home road splits with the Cleveland defense. I think there's something a little bit to that. I don't think C.J. Stroud's going to get completely shut down by this Cleveland team. I think he's still going to be able to move the ball a little bit. So, yeah, I actually like there to be a little some points in that game.
I don't love this batch of games in terms of the number because I think most of them are dead on here. But if I could only pick two, I think it's the Eagles Monday night laying 3 or below. And I think it's the Dolphins getting more than 3 at Kansas City. And both of those fall under the category of, I just have to believe the Eagles, for as bad as they've been, are better than the Bucs. And I just have to believe that the Chiefs aren't justified in being more than a 3-point favorite against anyone in this playoff.
Yeah. Yep.
And they might be flimsy reasons, but they're the default best that I can come up with of this group of six. Because the other ones, I don't know. They're pretty much where they ought to be. A little bit of a lead on the Cowboys laying all those points too. Is there
I'm with you for the most part on this.
Final question. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, we were talking during the break, right? Like, I just going to the Rams-Lions game, I don't think I'll be involved at all. Yeah. I would rather lay 3, though, with the Lions if it gets back there than taking 3.5 or more with the Rams.
Okay. And then the final question before we talk college ball with Felica. Baltimore and San Francisco. Give me the one team you could see going in and beating those teams on their home field in each conference.
Oh, man. Okay. Cowboys, just because they're the best that's left in the NFC, and the AFC's got to be Buffalo.
I think the AFC's Buffalo on a good day, though I don't really see it. And I don't see it in the NFC.
I don't see it either, but yeah, you told me I got an answer. How about this total real quick in the Buffalo game, down to 35.5?
Somewhere between 30 to 50 mile per hour winds forecasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.